School of Jewish Women, Oral History, Rhea C. Lehman and Elaine Wiseman, interviewers, Frieda Reinhart, Highland House, Pittsburgh, PA, respondent, May 7, 1981. All right. We're obviously interested in what you've contributed in the Pittsburgh community, Mrs. Reinhart, and that's why we're
here. I was born and raised in Sharpsburg.
Oh, were you? You're a native then.
My brother's Dr. Perrin, do you know? The
yes.
dermatologist?
Yes, of course.
He was born there too. We were all born there. And I loved it. I still love it. It was great to have been brought up there. If we were poor, everybody else was poor, so there was no anti-Semitism.
I see.
I think we create a lot of it ourselves. And I never knew. I was made a condolence call on Sunday. Met a man who had a butcher shop in Sharpsburg for a long time, and he said to the people there was one thing I loved about the town. There never was any anti-Semitism.
Well, that's kind of unique, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe it's because everybody there was just average working people. Mm-hmm. We had a business, but we never flaunted or were different than anybody else. And my mother was very orthodox, and even as a child, she never stopped us from mingling with the people in the community. I went with a Gentile boy. Even until I graduated high school, the day I graduated high school, she says, "Now it stops."
That's enough, huh?
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
We were four girls and one boy.
Mm-hmm. Where were your parents from originally, Mrs. Reinhart?
My father came from Lithuania and my mother came from Russia, but my mother came here to America when she was about 10 years old.
I see. And they settled in Sharpsburg?
No. They lived in Pittsburgh.
I see.
My father was a customer peddler and wanted my mother to move to Vandergrift. That was like going to Europe. So she and her two brothers went to look at Vandergrift, and coming on the train they had those days, the train broke down in Sharpsburg and they went to look the town over. And they found a store and three rooms for the same price they paid for rent in the Hill District. I don't remember.
What kind of a business was it?
Well, in those days my mother said she sold piece goods and cut a pattern and helped you sew it. It was a different world. Don't forget, at that time our population was probably 1/4 of what it is now. Mm-hmm. When my brother started practicing medicine in 1932, our population was half of what it is now.
Mm-hmm. So your brother is Dr. Perrin, the dermatologist. Mm-hmm. I see. And your maiden name was Perrin then?
Perofsky. He changed his name.
I see. I see. So your parents came from Lithuania?
And my mother came from Russia.
Russia, I see.
The thing I think is the most interesting are the stories my mother tells. My mother tells a story that years ago there were more Jewish men than women. It only should happen like that today. And the men would come, their house was probably where everybody congregated, and they'd bring pictures. And from the pictures, they'd pick a bride. Now, that has never been told in that council paper. And they'd pick a bride, and everybody in the community would have they'd go around from home to home and collect money for the bride. And the woman would make her dress, and usually the wedding was in my grandparents' home.
I see.
Then, and my mother was a Toby roller. Then later on, my mother's idea of a grand time was to go to a Dasa meeting or a B'nai B'rith meeting, which I hate, but I took her. And we'd go along, and she'd see somebody, and she'd say, "You see her? If it weren't for my father, she wouldn't be here." She was one of the picture brides, and look how stuck up she is now. See, this is my idea of real history of Pittsburgh.
I've never heard of that either. Picture brides.
Oh, an abundance. And then
who paid their way over here?
I guess the fellow, I don't know. He came here to make a living and he wanted a wife. In those days everybody was Orthodox. There was nothing else.
Sure. And then we bumped into somebody that was a Toby roller with my mother, and they became wealthy and affluent, and they forgot about her.
Do you know what a Toby roller? I don't know what a Toby roller is.
Oh, that was the big industry in Pittsburgh.
I don't think Elaine understands what it is. You want to explain to her?
Well, they rolled Tobys instead of cigars.
Oh.
There wasn't cigarette smoking then.
I thought it was like the high rollers, the religious group.
Take Mr. Hyman, that owns all that property. Mm-hmm. He was a Toby roller, and so was one of my mother's cousins. One of my mother's cousin remained poor because he would never work on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That also was a thing that was a factor in the early Jewish community.
Was there a shul or a temple in Sharpsburg?
Oh, there was a little community. We joined with Aetna, Sharpsburg and Aetna. We just had a little community synagogue. But I went to, where did I go? I went to Sunday school on Butler Street. It was run by the Council of Jewish Women in those days.
Yeah. Let's return to your parents, if we can, for a minute. They met here in Pittsburgh then?
Who?
In Sharpsburg, your mother and father.
Oh, they lived in Pittsburgh. My mother only moved to Sharpsburg after she...
Yeah, but she came as a young child, you said.
About 10 or 12 years old.
I see. So she wasn't a picture bride.
No.
She was here. So then you were born right here.
In Sharpsburg.
Mm-hmm. And you attended school there, did you?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you never had any anti-Semitic experiences along the way. Mm-hmm.
So we moved to Greystoke.
I see. Was it a good school system?
I don't know. How do I know? This is where we went. You know?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And your sisters and brothers went
to school? We all went there.
Mm-hmm. Was there a high school, too?
Oh, sure. In those days, it was combined with Aetna. The two towns were so small, it was called Sharpsburg-Aetna High School.
I see.
My brother graduated there, and then he went to Pitt. And my sister graduated there and went to Pitt.
Who is your sister? Is she in the community now?
She's dead. Sylvia Silverman. You wouldn't know her. She taught school in Swissvale, and she was an athletic director in New York for basketball games and so forth when they lived there. Now she's been dead a good many years. I only have one sister in Cleveland, my brother and myself left.
I see. Did you have any other special training after high school?
Yeah, I went to normal school.
I see. Where was that?
California, PA.
California State Normal. Mm-hmm. Did you teach then?
Just a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went in the business and I got married. My mother remarried. My mother remarried a cousin of hers who had charge of the Semitic languages at the Jewish Theological Seminary. I was steeped in such orthodoxism, and now I'm don't ask me why I buy kosher meat, but I don't believe in nothing. I belong to Road of Shalom because I think as a Jew you should belong somewhere and maintain a membership.
Mm-hmm.
If I go once a year, I go a lot.
So where did you teach school that
Sharpsburg.
In Sharpsburg, I see.
My whole life centered around Sharpsburg.
Well, at the time that you went into the business, what type of business was
it?
We
had a ready-to-wear store. I had it up to last year.
Oh,
I only gave it up.
And it operated under what name?
Kurovsky's, my maiden name.
I see.
We used to have two stores, one in Sharpsburg and one in Aetna.
So you were business oriented more than teaching.
Oh, I loved it. To me, it was no effort. I loved it. Uh-huh. I would have continued it if the towns have died. And the help got to the point where there was such jealousy. And the funny part, I don't even miss it.
Well, you've taken on other activities.
Oh, I never let myself sit. Keeping house isn't for me.
Well, you keep a very nice one, that's all.
No,
I
have
say. Well, now, let's talk about Mr. Reinhardt. Was he a Pittsburgher?
No, New York.
I see. And how did you two happen to...
He came into our store, sold Van Raldi underwear, and I met him on a rebound. Thought he was the slowest thing in the world. The greatest guy that ever lived.
And when were you married then?
Oh, I've been married a long time,
1925. And he then settled in Pittsburgh?
We lived in Sharpsburg for a
I
long
see.
Time.
Did he go into your business? Or?
He started, he worked for Van Raalme, and then he'd come into business on Saturday, and he had such modern ideas. He just transformed the thing into, from a little nothing. We became not big, but we had a good business. Oh.
So you were a husband and wife team then?
Yeah, he did all the bookkeeping and all the detail, and I did the buying, and he did some buying. We used to, years ago, sell hats in a little town. Nothing. We had a milliner. Nothing. A woman would buy a negrette. This is when I was single yet. A hat for $100 and a dress for $15. No accounting for people. A hat was... most important part of her wardrobe. That's before you girls remember.
Oh, I remember hats. But things have changed, haven't they?
Everything has changed.
Mm-hmm. And you have a daughter?
I have one daughter.
I see. Only child?
Only child.
I see.
And I have three grandchildren.
What is her name?
Carol Kaufman. You're not going to put all this in a paper.
But this doesn't go on paper.
No, this goes on tape. And I'm supposed to take, we index it, so if somebody wants to write a book someday, they can look up certain points
okay,
here. Your daughter might become very famous in the future.
Not me, I hate it. No. I want you to know, it's too bad my husband was so sick. But this I'm proud of. The town of Sharpsburg selected me as the outstanding person that ever lived in that town.
Well, you should be proud of that.
Was this at a ceremony or
oh,
something?
Oh, in the borough council.
And what year was this?
5 years, 5 or 6 years ago.
1976, most outstanding.
They should have given it to my mother. She was dead then, but boy.
She continued to be active in the business for some time?
She would go over on, she loved it. I tell you, there was something about a small town.
Yes.
It is so human.
It's a different feeling.
And of course, we at one time had 12 girls and a bookkeeper and an assistant and a boy. It was a small, good business.
Well, were you involved in other ways in the Sharpsburg community, aside from business, that they...
I took part in anything that went on.
Well, you must have, or they wouldn't have given you that kind of...
And we never turned anybody away. My mother always said a person's a person, regardless of what they were. And she helped everybody and everything, and we were brought up. You know, no, if people don't give charity that are very wealthy, it isn't their fault. You must be taught at home.
Someone has to set an example.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't know the necessity of giving. Mm.
So you were involved in various community
Everything
activities
in the community.
In the community.
It was a different world.
Mm-hmm. Was it a very sizable Jewish population?
No.
Small.
Small. The Labowitzes lived there. The Liebers lived there.
So as far as religious education was concerned, you combined with this other community you mentioned.
Yeah. And we got most of our religion from our parents in those days.
And you went to the Sunday school that was, I guess, was the Southwestern District.
Yeah, I think Marion Schoenfield was the director. And we went over on Butler Street. Now, where or when, I don't remember.
What was the name of the other community you combined with? You
said? Etna.
Etna, I see. And neither of you had your own synagogue.
We had a little, like a hall that they used, you know, for different things.
I see. Did you ever teach Sunday school?
No.
Because Marion Schoenfield did have a program training the young people.
I probably didn't like it. I don't remember.
So to come back to you were married then, and your husband joined the business. Were your children ever, your daughter ever active in it?
My daughter was not the best student in the world. She was a playgirl. She went to college one year, and I pulled her out, and she went to work in the store. She helped the bookkeeper, but not very long, because she married very young. And started work, I told her she had to pay room and board, and boy, to think her parents had so much and she had to pay, and I said, in our house you pay. Every week there was an argument. Every week she put the money down. I still think it's the most terrible thing to let kids go wild. I don't approve of the way she's raising her kids, but I keep my mouth shut. And when she got married, I had opened up a bank account. I put her $10 a week in the bank and 10 of my own. I never had a saving account in my life. When she got married, I bought her a washer, her dryer, her carpeting, and what have you from the money I saved. But she thought she paid room and board. And I still think, I don't care if people are millionaires or paupers, children should have responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Have to instill values.
And she lives in
St. Louis.
And she married pretty early, you say?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what is her name, did you?
Carol Kaufman.
And Kaufman. Husband's name?
Ralph.
Uh-huh. Is he in business?
They're in the swimming pool business.
Oh, I see.
And it's fantastic, and they're spending like no tomorrow, and I have 40 fits, but I keep my mouth shut.
You're wise.
What? Such extravagance. They don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, if they're broke, they'll come to me, you know? Your children the same way?
Well, I don't want to waste the tape, but during the intermission, which is going to be in a couple, about
Would
3-4
like
minutes.
Anybody like a cup of coffee?
Not just now, thank you.
No, thank you.
How many grandchildren do you have?
3.
I see, and how old are they? And
my granddaughter will be 21. My
pretty girl over there.
Oh. My grandson is 18, and the youngest one is 14. The grandson graduates high school this June 1st. I'm going back up. I go very often to St. Louis.
Well, that's nice. And your daughter never did work particularly except in your business briefly.
She helps your husband occasionally.
And the one granddaughter is married?
No.
Oh, they're all
21.
I see. So you're in pretty close touch with them and you do visit?
Oh, I'm very close touch with my entire family. My sister lives in Cleveland and I have a niece in Cleveland. She's coming down here Friday before Memorial Day and we're going to drive to Philadelphia to see her son, who's quite a young fellow, doing very well as a lawyer with a big firm there.
What is your sister's name?
Mrs. Alice Gellin.
S
G-double-L-I-N.
So that's the one remaining sister.
She's the oldest.
And your brother and
he's
you,
the youngest.
The three. I see. I see. Well, your brother has a very fine reputation.
Oh, honey. You know, that's another thing. You're brought up that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it undoubtedly has an influence, there's no question.
I think it influences any person.
It does. I agree with that.
My mother always taught us if you went in a store and picked something up, you might as well go in a store and steal it. Same thing.
Well, it is.
But how many people are taught that way? I love your suit. I have a green office weight. I can't stand it. Don't you find it hot? Boy.
Are we about at the end? I don't want to start anything yet. Till we turn it on the other side, then.
You have some more time. Mm-hmm. Give it another 4 minutes.
All right. I think council was especially interested in the fact that you've been working all these, been a volunteer all these years at the
I want to
VA
show
hospital.
You something I'm proud of. I'm not too much of talking about what I do up there,
Mrs. Reinhardt has gone to get some material that she wanted to show us. It's, I believe, pertinent to her activities at the Veterans Hospital.
This pin represents 7,500 volunteer hours given
7,500?
Given to me by B'nai B'rith women. Isn't it pretty?
It's beautiful. So you should
I
wear
like
it a lot.
I wear it a lot.
Uh-huh. You got room for some more jewels?
It says BBW on there, see?
Oh.
It's a gold filigree heart with three rubies, I guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now what is the connection with B'nai B'rith?
I work through B'nai B'rith.
They sponsor,
No, you see, it's a funny thing. Everybody wants to get in on the act. Personally, I don't approve of it. I don't approve of ours, and I don't approve of being affiliated, excepting I feel... We have very few left. Our B'nai B'rith program up there at one time was quite large. And you create a lot of goodwill. Then you have the Jewish War Veterans and every other organization, including even the Masonic Order, have volunteers up there. And everybody not only fights for ours, but they cheat for ours.
They want a pretty pin like that.
No, this is only given by B'nai B'rith.
I see. The hospital itself doesn't give awards.
Yes, the hospital one for my 5,000 hours gave me a beautiful little, I have it, a pin with the insignia of the United States Veterans Program. And I just put it away. If I had two, I'd give each one to one of each of my grandsons. But having one, I just keep it.
Yeah. So you entered into this originally through B'nai B'rith?
No, I entered originally through Red Cross. B'nai B'rith didn't have a program then.
I see. You went in as a Red Cross volunteer in the beginning. And how long has B'nai B'rith been
involved?
It's been
quite
a number of
years. Why not give credit to your own when they started the program?
Yes, of course.
And I was... B'nai B'rith, I had charge of the entire program, the volunteer program for all the hospitals at one time. We started the first dance that was ever given at Leech Farm. It was so successful that two Gentile men wanted to join B'nai B'rith, and I learned you have to be Jewish or married to a Jew to be eligible to join B'nai B'rith, not Hadassah. Hadassah will take anybody.
Or not council.
I don't know. I only know. And then I got the award from B'nai B'rith, the first one ever given for the three states of Pennsylvania. I also mounted a, we have different types of patients today, mounted an alphabet for blind, for not blind, incapacitated patients who couldn't talk, and they would point to letters, and we would write letters. You'd be surprised how well we could do. And the first Christmas of Jewish Volunteers was founded up at Aspinwall that I started, that is used by every veterans hospital in the United States today. On Christmas Day, every volunteer is Jewish. I tried to start that in all our hospitals, but I met with too much resistance, so I dropped it. You know, when you're younger, you can do a lot of things.
Did I understand you to say before that B'nai B'rith sponsored volunteers in all of, in a large group of hospitals?
In all the, in all your veterans hospitals.
All the veterans hospitals.
They do a beautiful job also with that art program that they have for the children in Pittsburgh. You know, that's sponsored by B'nai B'rith when they get rewards. They do a great many wonderful things.
Do you belong to any particular chapter of B'nai B'rith?
Yeah, I think it's Aviva. I never go to
Aviva.
Meeting.
I see.
I can't stand meetings.
But you just do your thing on your own.
Any other organization?
You mentioned it. I belong.
You're a member.
And contribute.
That's in the family tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Now, again, how many years is it you're up at Veterans Hospital?
30? Over 35.
Over 35.
I started with the first group that they ever trained. That was, I don't remember.
Tell us more specifically about what you do now. You're working with three men right
well,
now.
Well, right now I have this one man who hasn't got a soul, and I go up and I play gin rummy with him from 10 to 12. His only argument is he wants to play for money. He is such a whiz.
That sounds like the gin game.
It is gin. He is such a whiz. And of course, as a volunteer, I'm not allowed.
I see.
So we just play. Then I have, then I take a blind man, this man who's so sick now, I took him down to canteen, and he had a metabolism problem that only should happen to me. We couldn't fill him up. Could he? But right now he's ill. And then I take care of another man who's, I only try to take care of people who haven't anybody. People have family that
well, they
don't
have
need
the
me.
Same need. Yeah,
no. All right, you play 10 to 12, and then you come home or
no,
do some...
No, I go to lunch, and then I take care of another man from 1 to 2 and another man from 2 to 3, and then I go home. Mm-hmm. And then I write letters, so I don't know what time I'll go.
Well, what activity did you have with the other two?
Well, I take them down to the canteen, and the other day it was so beautiful, I walked the one who's in a wheelchair. You know, I can push a wheelchair very easily. I can
it
push
gives
a
you a little
back.
Support. Mm-hmm. I see.
And I am... They like to go to the canteen because they can't go off the floor. They have nobody to take them. And they have a nice canteen there where they can drink coffee and eat cake. And you have to find out first from the nurse if they're diabetic, are they allowed, and so mm-hmm. forth. But that I have no problem. I've been there too many years.
Have you asked B'nai B'rith to, for any other women to come up there?
Oh,
for
we
any?
Can't get nobody. Can you get volunteers?
Not real good ones.
Can you get volunteers? You can't. Everybody needs volunteers.
How many volunteers does B'nai B'rith have?
We used to have quite a few. We only have two now. A couple have moved to Florida. A couple are getting older. Nobody. People don't want to work for nothing. They all want paid. Even people of great means. I know women who work as sales ladies today. Of great means.
How much time do you give there in the course of a week?
I go 5 hours twice a week, 10 hours a week.
I see. in all weather.
Huh? Oh, that I still drive a car.
That's pretty special, I think.
And it's not far, you know. It's right up here in Asheville, just a couple miles from here.
So you belong to all organizations, but you don't get involved. This is your main.
You know, you go out with a bunch of women and they start bragging. And after a while, I'll say to them, you know, you can't expect too much from me because I was born in Sharpsburg. And then they all take stock of themselves.
Well, what happened to that business in Sharpsburg?
It's like everything. You know, we had given up Sharpsburg and I still had a store in Etna. And with the advent of the shopping
centers,
that really killed. Take how many small towns are in existence today?
That's very true.
I'll tell you, a town that's still good is Oakmont. A lot of wealth up there, too.
So it eventually just petered out?
No, I offered the business to help the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, it takes a lot of money, and they didn't want.